You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect. We're starting a new series today, and we're calling it Merry Christmas, Now What? And as Greg and Wilson and the whole gang have been showing with the ATU promo videos, we got to get a little taste of that. But we're kind of making it fun, we're kind of making it goofy, because what I want to do these next few weeks is take us through this story. We know the Christmas story. You know, this is the first time you've ever been in a church, you probably know the Christmas story. Most people do. We've heard about it. We tell it. Charlie Brown tells us about it every year. You know, we love that. But what I want to do is take this story that we know and kind of go a little bit deeper and say, okay, why does it matter? We say Merry Christmas, but now what? What's the next step? What is going on with some of these? So we're going to take these next 4 weeks, a piece of these stories that we're familiar with, and just kind of go a little bit deeper and say, all right, so what's the deal? Why does it matter? Why do we even care about this? And so that's what's going to be happening. That's why we're kind of taking it light and having a little bit of fun with it, because we're also going to go a little bit deep. And I'm going to throw out some theology, which is a fancy word for meaning stuff about God. And so we're going to look at that, because the Christmas story really, you know, Kirk talked about, you know, it's not about the gifts. It really isn't. That's not, God wasn't like, hey, we need a reason. That's why he talks like that. I don't know. He's like, hey, we need a reason to give out gifts. Let's come up with Christmas. And that has nothing to do with it. Actually, it's tied loosely, the gift thing, to the wise men who actually didn't even come at Christmas. They came a few years later. But anyway, so that's what this series is all about. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to take some things that you're probably aware of and then look and say, you know what? There's a reason that it's there. There's a reason that it matters. And so this week, we're looking at these different things. The point that I want you to walk away with, Merry Christmas, Now What? The point today is Merry Christmas, now we have a God, cool little effect, it takes forever. Now we have a God who is human. Now we have a God who is human. Christmas is all about this idea of God becoming human, of God coming to the earth. And this is gigantic. This is huge. And we're going to look at more about why that is in a little bit here. But I want you to understand that. I want you to walk away today understanding that Christmas is about God being human. And there's other things about Christmas, but today this is what I want you to get. And this idea that Merry Christmas, now we have a God who is human. Without Christmas, we didn't. Because of Christmas, we do. So if you have a Bible, if you have a paper Bible, we're going to kick on the lights for you. They take about 3 hours to warm up. But what do? We're saving energy with CFLs. But if you have a non-paper Bible, you can just go to John chapter 1. Tap on John in the YouVersion app. By the way, we've been pushing YouVersion for years. It's a free Bible app that covers every possible translation out there in English and many other languages. And they just on Thanksgiving released their Bible app for kids, which is incredible. It's free as well. Go. It's on every device so far, I believe. I'm not sure about iOS yet, but I know that all the Android, it's on iOS. Okay. Bible app, it's called Bible for Kids. You want to get it. It's a great, great way to get your kids reading the Bible. So anyway, all I have to say, Bible, John 1, and we're looking at the verses 1 to 4. And this was actually the very beginning of our worship experience this morning. We kicked off with this spoken word thing. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And this is a verse. This is a Christmas verse. And maybe, you know, you've heard it. Maybe it's, you haven't. But it's one of these things that's often said around Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there's another verse we're going to look at in a little bit that you probably heard even more. But this idea of now we have a God who is human is totally packed right here in what we've got in the Gospel of John. John is one of the four Gospels. John is the name of the book, which was also the name of the author that wrote the book. And the Gospels were four different pictures of the life of Jesus. Four different people's perspectives. So we had John's perspective, we had Matthew's perspective, Mark's perspective, and Luke's perspective. And so they're all the same story happening at the same time. So if you read Matthew and expect the book of Matthew to end and start with Mark in the next order, it doesn't happen that way. There's all four people giving their same perspective on that. And so we have John's perspective. And John, as he wrote this book, as he wrote the Gospel of Matthew, or yeah, as John wrote the Gospel of John, it says at the end of the book that he wrote, he said, the reason I did this is so that people may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you may have life. So John was writing, everything that he wrote in the book of John, the Gospel of John, was so that people would believe that Jesus was God, that Jesus was the Son of God. And again, that Jesus, that God, was human. And so that's what we want to look at. So I want to throw out a few things. And again, I'm going to talk on a let's say, a little bit deeper level with some of this, just because there's some important stuff here that, again, we're like, yeah, Christmas means that Jesus was born, but it means so much more than that. It is so much more important. It's so much deeper than that. And so I want to look at a few things about this idea that Jesus is God. So Jesus is God. And you know, maybe you don't, you're like, well, of course he is. Yeah, we always say Jesus is God, and we talk about that. And so the next slide has that. That Jesus is God, and maybe you don't believe, maybe you're not sure. Why do we believe that Jesus is God? Where does all that come from? So I'm gonna take a little piece of that and kind of give you a flavor for that this morning. But this idea that Jesus is God, and this is important, because if Jesus wasn't God, if Jesus isn't God, then what we hope for in his death on the cross 33 years after his birth-ish, then what we hope for is meaningless if Jesus isn't God. And we're going to talk more about this next week as well. But I want you to get this idea that Jesus is God. We call him the Son of God. He is called Jesus the Christ, which is a Greek word for anointed one. The Hebrew word means Messiah, is Messiah. And so he's the one that everyone was waiting for. He wasn't just some guy. He wasn't just some average Joe that popped up on the scene and said, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to die for people. He is God. And so that's important to know. So here's how we know, here's some of the reasons why we know that Jesus is God. Because Jesus did some things just like God. And if you're, you know, if you're a Bible scholar here and you're, you know all these different Greek words that we're talking about here, just give me a moment, because I'm just going to assume that God is God. We're not going to talk about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit right now. We're just going to say God. Okay, so are we all cool that God is God? Sure, it doesn't mean anything. No, you're nodding your head to. But yes is the answer. Yes, you are cool with that because I say so. And if not, I'll turn the heat off to make you cold. So anyway, just like God, Jesus did some things. Now, I got to tell you that there were some things about this that I struggled with writing. Because there's some what's the word? There's some tense issues. Not tense like, oh no, I'm under pressure. But tense like past, present, future. Because there are some things that we see in John that Jesus was doing, and it took place in the past. But I don't want you to misunderstand and think that Jesus did that then and is not doing those things now. So I use present tense here to talk about past tense things. So I'm saying that just like God, Jesus exists, current, present tense. Jesus exists just like God did. Just like God did then, Jesus existed back then. This is going to make sense in a second because you're looking puzzled, and that's cool. That means I'm doing something. But Jesus, just like God, Jesus exists. You could say Jesus existed, but I don't want you to get and think that, oh, well, he did exist and he doesn't exist anymore. So he still exists now. So Jesus exists. And this is what we see in John chapter 1, the first verse there. It says, in the beginning, John is writing this. This is how he starts his book. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, the word beginning, it means from the beginning of time. The word arche means, we get the word archaeology, has to do with time, the study of time. It's the starting point. At the very beginning, before things even existed, in the beginning, at the beginning of all the beginnings, before things actually began, deep stuff, and when you're talking about eternity, it's kind of hard for us to understand because we're not eternal. But in the beginning was the Word. And the word was here, it's a word that doesn't mean he used to be around, but it's just he has always existed. He was. So in the beginning, and follow with me here, so before things ever started, something was already always existing. Okay? That doesn't make sense. That's a little deep. But in the beginning, something has always been existing. And so what does that something, John, tell us? Oh, in the beginning, that something was the Word. And the word here for word is logos, which means word. So the Greek word is logos. In the beginning was the logos. And it also means, this word means knowledge. It means everything that is to be known. And the word here means, sorry, the lowercase word, which is word with, I'll do this for capital word. So the word, no wait, I'll do it. The word, word, means that is the essence of everything that is God. That's what logos means. In the beginning was the logos. The logos was this idea that everything that was God was there. Everything that is expression of the divine just brilliance of God. So John is writing to us, writing to the people he was writing to, is for those that may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's us. Hopefully you will believe by the end of the day or just walk away totally confused. But that Jesus is the Son of God. So he says, in the beginning, so before things ever existed, there was this logos, this word, this divine everything greatness of God was existing. So in the beginning, the word existed. The logos existed. It said, so we're like, okay, so maybe he's talking about God. Maybe he's referring to, in the beginning, God existed. No, he's actually saying that this word was with God. So wait, now we're talking about a second person. And I'm not going to get into too much about the Trinity here, but the quick version definition of the Trinity is that the Father, the Son, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one God. How does that work? It's complicated. I don't quite get the whole thing myself. But for all intents and purposes, there is one God. We don't worship three separate gods. And there's a lot of spots in the Scripture where it talks about that. But the fact that this logos was with God. So from the beginning of time, before everything started, there was an existing word. And this word was with God. So there is someone, this logos, this separate thing that was with God. And so, just in case you weren't sure, he just clarifies it again. Well, he was with God in the beginning. So in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. I skipped that part. The word was God. So he's saying that this logos, he's going to define what the logos is in a little while. But this word, capital W, was God. So before anything ever started, something has always existed. Someone, some being. And this being, called the Word, was with God. So it wasn't the same guy. We're talking about two people now. We're talking about two persons of God. And he says he was with God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, just to clarify. So from the beginning, the Word, and I'll just tell you now, the Word is Jesus, just in case you didn't know. The Word, with capital W, is Jesus. The Logos is referring to Jesus. So he's saying, and I should just clarify that, in the beginning was Jesus. So before things ever started, before time ever began, Jesus was there, and he was pre-existing. He was already around. And this Jesus was with God. He was with the Father. He was there with God. And at the same time, the Word, this Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. So just like God, Jesus exists. So from the beginning of time, like we often think about, well, yeah, God was there and spoken and well, I'm going ahead of myself. But God was there. And John is saying that Jesus was there too. That Jesus was there from the beginning of time. And so this human, especially to John's audience, John's original audience, they were people that had seen Jesus physically. They knew this guy that had walked on the earth. And so John is saying, hey, look, I'm writing so that you believe that Jesus that you have seen, that you have touched, that you knew about, you heard the stories about, that this guy He didn't just show up one day and say, hey, I'm going to die. This guy has been around since before time began. Jesus has always existed. Jesus exists. He still exists today. Jesus exists. So that Jesus, this guy, John is saying, look, people, you think you knew him, you saw him. Don't misunderstand and think that he was just some other guy that came along, because he wasn't. He was God in the flesh. And I'm getting ahead of myself too, but that's okay, because it's a cool story. So just like God, Jesus exists. And so John is saying, I want to tell you people, I want you to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is God. And so the second thing that John points out is that, let me back up here. One of the things that we know, if you were here for the Dwell series, if you've been a part of some of the different things we've talked about, and I believe, who did Moses? I believe Brian taught about Moses during the Heroes series. And one of the things we heard, you may have heard or you've probably heard before, is that God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And the bush didn't burn up. Moses was like, that's kind of weird. So he went over to see what's going on, because this bush is on fire. It's not burning up. It's like perfect fuel. I could get that in my pellet stove and I'd be good to go. But it didn't burn up. So he went over, what's going on? And suddenly a voice speaks to him from the bush and says, I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God. I am the true and living God. And by the way, Moses, you're going to rescue my people, Israel, and take them out of slavery, out of Egypt. You're going to be the one to do it. And Moses, you know, there's all these things where he's like, well, I can't do it. I can't do it. It goes back and forth. And he says, but who should I say? Moses says to this bush, you know, hey, God, I know you're the God that everybody's worshiping. But who should I say is son of me? What's your name? And God says, responds and says, I am that I am. And in Hebrew, it's Yahweh. I am Yahweh. I am. And it's this word that means exists. He doesn't say I was. He doesn't say I will be. He says I am. I'm always and forever. Luther Vandross is going with it. Always and forever. Anyway, he says I am. I am. I am. He doesn't say my name is Bob. Good to meet you. He doesn't say, hey, I'm going to be. He says, I am. That's how he reveals himself to Moses. And so that is the phrase that you see if you have in your Bible, the capital L-O-R-D in the Old Testament. If you see capital L-O-R-D, that is actually the Hebrew word Yahweh. It is the divine name. And I could get into a whole lot of reasons about that. But for all intents and purposes, God revealed himself to Moses and to his people as I am. He exists. So God the Father, for all intents, the God the Father said to Moses, I am. Now here's the deal, right? A few thousand years later, actually about 1,500 years later, Jesus appears on the scene. And he's doing his ministry, and he's living as his man. He's in the flesh. People are touching him. He's miracling. He's doing some awesome stuff. He's being nice. He's touching people that people never touched before. He's offering kind, gentle words. He speaks with wisdom. And there's one particular spot where he's talking to the people, and the people are like, well, who are you? And these are the Jewish leaders who didn't like Jesus anyway, because he was ruffling feathers. He was doing things that they didn't like, because he was not all about their rules. And he says, who are you? And he says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, now here's that tense issue. Before Abraham was, I am, is how he answered. And you might be reading that and be like, Jesus, what's your deal, man? You don't know how to speak? You don't speak good, right, do you? Before Abraham was, you should say, before Abraham was, I was. Or before Abraham was, I existed. But he says, before Abraham was, I am. And because he said that, he says this, and all the Jewish leaders picked up stones to stone him, to kill him. They were ticked off that Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, understand, they weren't grammar teachers. They weren't people going, hey, let's kill this guy because he don't speak right. They were upset because Jesus, by saying, I am, was claiming to be God. And according to Jewish law, that's blasphemy. Claiming to be God results in death. They should be killed for that. And so you have this guy, Jesus, showing up on the scene, saying to the people, before Abraham was, I am. And they're getting mad. They're getting ready to kill him. Because he was equating himself with the true living God. And so this is this idea that just like God, Jesus exists. Jesus has existed all along. That is why this is a big deal. This is going to matter in a few minutes, eventually. So just like God, Jesus exists. He always was. He claimed to be God. He says, I am. He takes the same name that God used to Moses, the burning bush. At the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. He was with God. He was there. Before time began, Jesus was on the scene. Before Genesis 1, verse 1 starts, Jesus was there. He was there. He was on the scene. He exists. The second thing is, just like God, Jesus creates. And again, this is one of these things we don't necessarily think about too much. But as you continue on in John chapter 1, in verse 3, John writes, through him, through Jesus, through the Word, through this guy that has been existent, this person has been existent from beginning of time, through him all things were made. He says Jesus was there at the creation. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So John says, look, this Jesus, hey, I'm writing to you people. You saw Jesus. You touched him. You knew who he was. I'm writing so you believe that he was God. This Jesus, he was there at creation. He saw the Father speak, let there be light. He was a part of that. He was like, oh, look at that. I mean, probably wasn't like that because that's awfully blasphemous. But the point is that Jesus was there. Jesus was part of creation. He was creating with the Father. So at the beginning, when God created man and woman, Jesus was a part of that. The whole Adam, the rib thing, Jesus was there doing that. The animals, the light, like the whole deal, Jesus was part of that. And he says there was nothing that has been made that Jesus didn't make. So everything that we consider as part of creation, Jesus was there. Jesus was there at the beginning. Because before time existed, in the beginning, before any of that, the Word was there. Jesus was there. Jesus was not just there, but he was part of the creation process. So, people that are listening, people that know Jesus, that have seen him, that have watched him walk the earth, that saw him die on the cross, that heard about the stuff that he was doing, he's saying, look, that Jesus, dude, that Jesus created the earth that you're walking on. That Jesus was there that created the heavens. That Jesus was the one that created the sun, that created the sea, the fish, that created you, gave you life, that made you in the image of God. And we'll talk about that next month. He says, that's the same Jesus. That's Jesus. Through him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Jesus did it. He was there. So again, you people that are thinking like, hey, I saw Jesus, he seemed like an ordinary guy to me. John is saying, oh, he's not just an ordinary guy. He is God in the flesh. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So, John says there that just like God, Jesus exists. He's always been there. Just like God, Jesus creates. Jesus, and there's still this process of creating. Obviously, we see life as being created. We know that. You have children. There are babies. There are grown people, life, it's part of the process. God's not done. He's still creating, and Jesus is still doing that, so it's a present thing. It's happening. It happened then, and it is still happening because Jesus is still part of that, because Jesus is still God. So Jesus is God. Just like God, Jesus exists. Jesus creates. And then the third thing is that just like God, Jesus animates. And I was just trying to find a word that could summarize without running along. Jesus, because Jesus is a part of the life that we have right now. And I've talked about this before. You know, every breath that we breathe is because God has given us that breath. Every beat of your heart is because God, and look at all the people in this room and think about all the people in this world, on this planet, God's controlling that. Or if you're mine right now, it's going a little faster. Yeah, it's going. Okay. But God is controlling every that because God is sustaining your life. And John is saying, look, we know, we believe that God sustains us, that God gives us every breath. You guys all know that. And again, he's talking to Jewish people that saw Jesus, that touched him. He says, you know that, but I want you to understand that Jesus, that life that you're living, that breath that you're breathing, that beat that your heart that you're beating, that would sound cool if it made sense. He says that Jesus is doing that. And this is what he goes on and says. He says, in him, in Jesus, in the Logos, in the Word, was life. And again, this word was means has always been. It was, it always has been. In him was life. And this word life doesn't just mean Jesus is alive, Jesus is dead. It's not like your hamster. You know, oh, it was a good hamster and now it's not. This is a word. The word means, it's Zoe is the Greek word there. And it means life. What makes us alive And what gives us that full soul, body, spirit, the whole deal, like who we are, the life that we have, is from Him. It is in Him. It is through Jesus that we have life. And He says, and that life was the light of all mankind. That the light, and this word light is phos, is a Greek word. I'm not throwing a lot of that Greek. I don't want to sound all fancy. But phos, the reason I throw that out is because we know the word phosphorescent. Something that glows, something that has light, something that gives off light versus something that reflects light. Because if you think about it, I mean, most things, well, not most things. I mean, we have light bulbs that give off light. The sun gives off light. But there's many other things that don't give off light. They just reflect it. A reflector on the back of a car. It doesn't give off any light. It just reflects the light that's been sent that way. And that's what this word phos means. It's something that produces light. And so John is saying, look, people, you are living, and you are living because Jesus is giving you life. Now, you know you believe that God gives you life, that the Father gives you life, but I want you to understand that Yahweh gives you life. I want you to understand that Jesus is God, and He is giving you life. The life you have is in Him. In Him is life, and that life is light for all mankind. There is something about Jesus that is glowing unlike us, because we, and again, we'll talk about this next month in our Me series, we're going to look at the image of God. But we, our job is just to reflect the light of God. Our job isn't to say, hey, look at me. Our job is to say, hey, look at Him. And we've talked about this with worship, you know, with and the band. I know this is one of the things that they talk about. You know, this idea that you know, they're not up here to say, hey, look how great we are. They're up here to say, hey, look how great God is. You know, I've talked about this too. You know, I don't want you to say, hey, Sean, you did a really good job. That was a really good sermon. I want you to say, wow, God's amazing. Because our job is to reflect that light. And John is saying, look, Jesus, He is the light. He's not just reflecting it. He is the light. He is the source. In Him was life. The life that we have is because of Jesus. He is the one. We have life because of Him. And so that's what He's saying to His audience. He's like, look, guys, I'm writing this stuff to you because you have seen Jesus. You know about Him. You know the stories. Your cousin saw Him one time over at that bar mitzvah. You know this Jesus. And I want you to get it that He's not just a man. He is God. And so He has done some things just like God. He exists. He's been there from the beginning. He creates. He was part of that creative process. He was there for those 6 days of creation. He said, let there be. He was a part of that with the Father. And then He animates our lives. He's the one that gives us our life. That every breath we have is not just from God the Father, but it is from Jesus, because that is who Jesus is. And that's what John is saying. Look, guys, don't miss this. You need to understand that Jesus is God. He's not just some guy. There's a lot of people in this room that I really like. And there's a lot of you that, some of you probably would be willing to give up your life for me. Probably, some of you. Maybe just one or maybe none of you, I don't know. but even in doing that, I would be like, thanks. I would be grateful. I mean, I certainly don't want to come across that I would be ungrateful, but if you're just a human saying, hey, I'm going to give my life for you, you're like, well, thanks, that's great. You saved me from that instance. You stopped that particular situation. But John is saying, look, this guy, he's not just any ordinary man. He is the Son of God. He is God. And this God died on the cross for you. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So just like God, Jesus exists. Jesus creates. Jesus animates. And here's the clincher. Here's where it becomes Christmas story. Then Jesus became human. Jesus was around. Jesus was in the heavens. He was with the Father. He was creating. He was causing life to exist. He was there in the burning bush. He was a part of all of this stuff that we know as God doing. Jesus was a part of it. And now the game changer happened. Because now God became human. Jesus became one of us. You can look around at various other religions, and I don't know every religion out there, but the idea of a God becoming like his creation is almost seen as obscene. Like, what God? That's humiliating. Our gods would never become like us. But the God that we serve became human. And that was big.
And so this is what John says about that. A few verses later in John 1, verse 14, it says, this word, the Logos, the one we've been talking about, this one that has existed, that has created, that has been part of animating our life, it says, this word became flesh. He put on skin and bones. He became flesh. He became meat. He became human and made his dwelling among us. And if you were here for the Dwell series last spring, and it's available at mc3church.org, you can just click on Listen to the Point and download it. But there's a lot of stuff in that, because that was all about the tabernacle. And the word here, that we and made his dwelling among us, literally means, and Jesus tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent among us. He came and lived down among us. He was with us. He became part of his creation. And it's an interesting phrase, because if you remember anything about the Dwell series, if you remember anything about the tabernacle, that the tabernacle wasn't a permanent place. It was a temporary place. So it was almost like John's like, hey, look, Jesus became flesh, and he's not staying here too long, because he's going back. But the idea of made his dwelling, he lives here. He wasn't just visiting. It wasn't a permanent thing, but he wasn't just kind of like, hey, how you doing? He was among us. He dwelled among us. He lived among us. He became flesh. He became human. And then he says, we have seen his glory. This Jesus, we have seen his glory. And this glory is a cool word, because the Greek word is doxa, where we get, if you're from church, you might have heard the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And if you're not, that's cool too. But this word glory means like basically everything that's great about God. And so he's saying, John is writing, look, everything that's great about God, and Moses asked at one point in his life, he said, God, can I see your glory? Can I see everything that is great about you? And Yahweh, God, spoke to Moses and said, look, dude, if you see me, you'll die. Because I am just that awesome. And Moses said, well, can I just see a part of you? Is there any way I can get a glimpse of maybe just the back, just your back as you kind of go by? And God said, look, here's the deal. Okay, I'll put you in a rock. And I'm going to cover you in that rock with my hand. You'll be in a gap between rocks. And then I'm going to go by. And once I'm pretty well gone, then I'm going to remove my hand. And you'll be able to see kind of what was left of me as I leave. And Moses said, okay, that's cool. And God said, now look, if you look before that, you will die. Because my glory is too awesome for you to handle. You're a human. I am God. I am the Almighty, the created one, the uncreated one, the one who is part of everything amazing. He said, Moses, you can see my glory. I'm going to remove my hand. You can look at look at my back as I drift by. And it said that Moses did that. And then his face was so, just from seeing a piece of God's glory, it said his face glowed. And his face glowed not just for a couple of minutes, but for weeks. And it was so great that we went back down to his people. They're like freaking out because Moses is glowing. He looks like the little glowworm. Do you guys ever have a glowworm? You squeeze his belly and his face lights up. He looks like that. Be like, stop squeezing his belly. What's going on with this guy? And it was freaking people out because he's like, he was with God. The glory is shining from him. He is reflecting God's glory. And is shining out so much so, just from a little hint of the back of God, that he had to wear a veil. So he had to wear a veil because it was just too much for the people to handle. Because Moses is shining. I mean, I don't know what Mrs. Moses was like, laying in bed. Like, dude, Moses, turn off your face. I'm trying to go to sleep. But anyway, that's what happened. And that's this idea of glory. And John is saying, look, we have seen the glory of God, the everything that is wonderful and amazing and miraculous and powerful and majestic and awesome is in Jesus. Because the glory of God is in Jesus. Because the Word, the God, the Logos, Jesus became flesh and he is now living among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. And that means just this special Son. He's not your average everyday Son. He is the Son of God who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And John's saying, look, you guys know Jesus. You've seen Jesus. You're aware of Jesus. I want you to get that he is God in the flesh. He is God in skin. He is the great, almighty, uncreated, beautiful, majestic Lord, the Yahweh that Moses talked to. He was here on this earth with us. He walked. He wore our skin. He lived our life. He dealt with things the way we did. And the glory of God was in Jesus, was in him because he is God. And he came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And grace and truth means is kara and aletheia, is the Greek words for that.
But he was full of grace, full of unmerited favor. He's coming to, I wrote this down because it's kind of funny. He said, Jesus is here to give us what we don't deserve and to tell us how it is. Grace and truth. And I love that, that Jesus was full of that. Everything about him was saying, you know, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you. Everything about his life on this earth was saying, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you. Everything about his death was, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to give it to you. But at the same time, Jesus wasn't like, oh, let's mince words here. He said, this is the reality. He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth to the Pharisees. He spoke the truth to the people that said, hey, I want to do things my way. And Jesus was like, no, you can't do it your way. You got to do it my way. Because I am God in the flesh. He came full of grace and truth. And I just love that he did both. He didn't like water down like, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Oh, he did a lot of offending. When's the last time you had a crowd of people stand up around you and say, I need to kill you because of what you just said? Probably not happened. It happened to Jesus a lot. Because he was willing to speak the truth, but he was full of grace too, saying, you don't deserve this, but this is what I'm doing. And so that's what John was saying. He says, look, this God that was around, this God that created, this God that existed, who exists currently, this God who animates your life, he became human. That's big. God came down to not just to just show up and leave, but to become one of us. I mean, do you understand that? Like, throughout the Old Testament, and again, if you're not from church, that this is some of maybe you're not familiar with, but God came to Moses in the burning bush, but there weren't burning bushes just continuing to walk around the earth. God left. God came to Joshua in the form of an angel, in the form of some sort of soldier, actually, and then left. And so God has spoken in many different ways, but now finally Jesus appears on the scene and God is here to stay. He is living like one of us. He's not just visiting, he's here to be among us. And we say this phrase at Christmas time. We just sang a song about it. O come, Emmanuel. Which means God with us. Because God is now with us. That God, the creator of the universe, the amazing one, the one who is full of grace and truth, the one who is glorious, so glorious that we couldn't even look at God without dying, has come to this earth. So Jesus is God. And that's what John wanted to say. And so when we talk about Emmanuel, when we talk about God with us, and we talk about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, we're talking about Christmas. That Christmas is when Jesus came in human form. And we're going to talk more about those details in the next couple of weeks. But the point is, Merry Christmas. Now what? Now we have God who is human. We have a God who is human. Before, you know, before Christmas, we didn't. Before Christmas, God was kind of doing his thing. And the people were grateful and they loved it. And the whole Old Testament was pointing forward to the Messiah, the one that's going to come, the one that's going to come. God is going to come. He's going to change things. He's going to make it right. He's going to fix things. This whole sin thing that is messed up, God is going to fix. So Merry Christmas, because now we have God who is human. And we celebrate that. We sing that. That's what it is about at Christmas time. Because God is human. The series is called Merry Christmas, Now What? So now what? Okay, great, Sean. Thank you. Now I know more. I know more, or maybe I know less because I'm very confused now. But why do we care? Why do we care that Jesus is God? Why do we care that God became human? So now what? I was almost like I planned it that way. So now what? Well, let me share a few things about this, why this matters. And I hope you get it. If you don't agree that Jesus is God, and there's tons more things that we could talk about, but I'm just looking at one passage in John. But first of all, it shows us that God cares about us. That the God that we worship, the true, the living God, he's not off and saying, "Huh, good luck, figure it out, deal with it, sort it out, solve the problem yourself." We have a God who cares about us. He's interested in us. And notice that you can't really tell, but I underlined us. That God cares about us. God of the universe cares about you. He cares enough about you to send Jesus. He's not interested in just staying off and saying, hey, good luck. I've got it figured out. I'm God. Worship me. If you don't worship me the right way, I'll kill you. This God is different. This God is saying, no, I care about you. I care about you so much that I want to be I want to be in your shoes. I want to be with you. I want to be down in your place, in my creation, I guess it would be his. In his creation, he wants to be with us. He cares about us. And Hebrews talks about this. The writer of Hebrews talks about this idea of this great high priest who is Jesus. And there's a whole passage here in Hebrews chapter 4 that talks about how Jesus is our high priest. He is going between God on our behalf. That's what a priest does. They go between humanity and God. And so we have this great high priest of ours, Jesus, who understands our weaknesses. Do you ever think about that? That you might have had a really rough week. You might have had a really rough year. You might be starting into this holiday season that's just hard and that is painful. And I want you to understand that you have a God that understands. Not just because he knows, but because he's been there. He's dealt with the struggles, and that's what he says. For he faced all of the same testings we do. He struggled with the same things. He was tested with anger. He was tested with loss. He was tested with all these different things, yet he didn't sin. And that's going to matter next week. But God has been there. He's been through that. He dealt with death when Lazarus died. He dealt with heartache of seeing people oppressed that shouldn't have been. He dealt with pain as he physically was whipped and beaten. He's been there. So don't even think that what you've got is something that nobody else understands. And maybe nobody else on this earth does. But understand that God does. Because God became human. God became one of us to get it. And so then the writer of Hebrews goes on and says, look, because we've got this Jesus that understands it, he says, let's go boldly to him. Let's go to him and say, look, I need to pull boldly to the throne of our gracious God, which is this idea of coming in prayer. Wireless series 2 months ago. You can get that online. He says, let's come boldly to God because there we're going to receive his mercy and we will find grace, that undeserved favor to help us when we need it most. So if you're going through a hard time, no matter when it is, you don't have to go alone because God came onto this earth as Jesus and said, look, I understand. I get it. I know that this sucks. I've been there. And the story's not over because he's God. He says, come to me. If you've got an issue, if you're struggling, if things are hard, go to God because God cares about you. He cares enough. It's that stupid little Hallmark thing. He cares enough to send his very best. He does. That's big. Honestly, I mean, if you just look at some of the other options out there, and I don't mean that Jesus is an option of many because I really feel that he is the only truth. But there is no other story. There is no other faith. There is no other religion where you see God caring enough to be a part of creation. Because God knew that was a game changer. So the fact that Jesus is God is that the God that we worship, the God that we pray to, the God that is causing our life to exist at this very moment, he is a God that understands. He cares about us. So get that. Because if Jesus wasn't God, this wouldn't really matter. Then we'd be like, well, God's still aloof. He's kind of living his own high life up there in his boardroom, you know, sipping Mai Tais. But no, God didn't do that. He came down. He came to the earth. He became flesh. He became one of us. So now what? One is that God cares about us. The second thing I want you to understand is that God serves us. This is another huge thing. The fact that Jesus, that God became flesh in Jesus, there is the God of the universe, is serving us. And this is how Paul writes in Philippians. He says, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus, being in very nature God, just to clarify in case you weren't sure what John said, Jesus is very nature God. He is God. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He wasn't saying, hey, I'm God too, so I'm just going to, you know, hey, this is pretty nice. Heaven, perfection, glory, all of creation worshiping me. Sounds pretty good. But he didn't do that. He didn't use that to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. This idea means he emptied himself. He gave up. He limited some of his godlike qualities. And I've talked to you guys about this before. It doesn't mean he stopped being God. It just meant he limited his qualities. If I was going to be throwing a softball with Scott, I would throw it very differently to him because he is an adult. He is a softball player guy. He's awesome. And so he could catch it.
If I was playing softball, throwing a softball to my 4-year-old son, I would do it differently. I would throw it lighter. I would throw it more gently. I would lob it to him. Has anything about my power changed? Absolutely not. Just I'm choosing to limit it. And that's this idea that Jesus, he made himself nothing. He limited himself and he took the very nature of a servant. He came down, he said, being made in human likeness, he came to serve this humanity. He came to serve his creation. He was made in human likeness. He took on flesh. The Word became flesh. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Paul's writing, look, Jesus didn't just come down. He didn't just show up on the scene kind of to observe. He came to serve. And he didn't just come to serve. I mean, if you look at the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, if you read the Gospels, Jesus was serving people everywhere he went, especially the people that didn't deserve to be served according to society. That's where Jesus was. Those were the places where Jesus was hanging out. And then he went so far as to say, you know what? I'm willing to take the next step. I'm going to serve by offering my life. Because somebody had to die for our sin. We sin, we mess up, we choose to do things our own way. And when we do that, we sin. And sin causes us, and that was the issue with Moses, is that God's glory is perfect. God's glory cannot exist in the presence of sin. So any sinful creature, any sinful being that is in God's presence will instantly die because we can't handle the awesomeness of God's glory. And so God said, something has to be done about this. And so there were laws in the Old Testament saying, I'm working on it. Wait, the big thing's coming. Just wait, it's coming. The people were learning. They were trying to follow the rules. And the whole point of the law, the Jewish Ten Commandments and that whole deal was to show them that you couldn't do it on your own. You need something. You need some supernatural help. So Jesus came on the scene. He became a human because he needed to die in our place. And I'll talk about this in just a second. And he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He said, this isn't good enough. I'm not content with this sin thing. So someone needs to die for the sin. And that's why Jesus came down. Because he died for the sin of all of us. He became obedient to death as he served, even death on the cross. I mean, think about that in your job description. You know, here's what you got to do. Please, first, you're gonna serve people. Your job is to hand out the drinks and the food. And then your job also, you know, I know you're the waiter, but you're also going to be that kind of that next level. Like, you're the one that has to clean up all the spills. And you have to clean the pots and pans in the kitchen afterwards. Because who likes doing that? Oh, you're going to have to do that. And then when you're done with that, you know, basically the toilets. You're going to have to clean the toilets as well. Because that's your job description. I know you came to be just, you know, like you were just thinking you were a waiter. But this is kind of the way you're doing. Oh, and by the way, if someone comes in and their life is in danger, it's your job to give your life for them. Okay, no sweat. All right, it starts at $5.75 an hour, and we'll see you on Tuesday. Like, that's Jesus' job description. He came to die. That was his job, was to serve us through death. So as we consider that Jesus became human, that God became human, it's huge. That God came down not just to live among us, not just to understand what we're going through, but to serve us. That's gigantic. That God came to serve you. God came to serve me. That's big. And the last thing about it, why it matters now, what, is that God substituted for us. God substituted for us. It says that Jesus came, and so because of our sin, something like God's glory cannot exist in the presence of sin. And so sin can't be there. So how does a sinful person get to be in God's presence? How do we get to heaven? How do we get to be there? We can't do it on our own. We can be good and good and good. We're still stuck with that sin problem. We still have it. No matter how good you are, you still have some of that issue. Talked about this before plenty of times. You know, just a little tweezer bit of poop in some bottled water is probably enough for you to go, you know what? I know it's just a little bit, but I'm not going to drink that. And that's the problem. Our sin isn't enough, so there had to be a way. And so God said, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to become one of them, because then that's a fair exchange. Because if I'm one of them, then we can trade places. No one's going to say, hey, I'll give you a quarter for a $20 bill. Because that's not a fair trade. And God couldn't just say, okay, well, let's try this lamb thing. And that's not going to work. He knew that. The lamb, sacrificing a lamb in place of their sin. That's what the tabernacle was about. The temple was about trying to find a way to cover over the sin.
But it wasn't enough because it wasn't a real substitute. So God says, look, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to become one of them. And I'm going to die for them. And I'm going to substitute my life for them. And this is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. He writes to the church in Corinth. We looked at them last month. He says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. That's a trade. God made him who had no sin to become sin for us so that we may have the righteousness of God. That's how God fixed it. He says, here's God's glory. It's perfect. We can't exist in that. So what we'll do, we'll trade something. What can we trade? And please, do not misunderstand. God wasn't trying to figure this out. He knew what he was doing from the beginning. But what could we trade? I know, I can trade my own life because I'm perfect. But I couldn't just give it up. I have to become one of them. So God became human and offered his life in exchange for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. When Jesus took our sin, we took his righteousness. By following him, by believing in him. And that's what John said. That's the purpose of his book. So that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you may have life. You may have real life. So God cares about us. He serves us, and he's substituted for us. That's the whole deal. That's why Christmas matters. That's why it's a big deal. That's why we can say, you know, Merry Christmas, because now we have a God who is human. Before that, that would have been a neat idea. But wow, Christmas says, man, God is here. God is among us. God died for us. God died for you. God with us, Emmanuel. So this week, that's what we want to walk away with. That, hey, Jesus is God, and that's huge. If he wasn't God, it wouldn't have mattered. If he wasn't God, understand this, his death on the cross would have been a little bit better than another lamb or a bull or a goat that was sacrificed, because it wasn't enough to fully take that away. Next week, we're going to talk more about this, about why Jesus being God matters and why his sinlessness matters. But for now, let's pray and be done. God, I thank you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you I thank you that it speaks to us, that your word is powerful. And that if my words, as Sean Fitch, got in the way of that, your word is more powerful than me. And so I pray this morning, God, that each person could walk away understanding the amazingness, the bigness, the fantasticalness of the fact that you became one of us and died for us. That at Christmas we celebrate that. God, I pray that you would help us to grasp that idea. That as we continue through this season, as we think about what Christmas means, as we think about Emmanuel, God with us, that is gigantic, that is drastic, that is huge. And then we would realize that we're not alone because you've been here. You understand. You care about us. You served us. May we live differently, God, because of that. In Jesus' name, amen.